Hi, welcome to another Applied Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Reeve. Today, I'll be talking with Carly Hall, who's the coordinator for the new Center for Health and Wellness. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you.
So before we get into talking about your role in the new health center, we just want to kind of talk a little bit about your past, a bit about the teaching and work you've done before. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about where you are in the college, sort of your position in the college.
Sure. So my background's in nursing. So I was actually a student here myself a long time ago. So I've been at Camosun now for 16 years, and I taught in the practical nursing program, and I was department chair for practical nursing and healthcare assistant. And so that's kind of what led me into this role that I've been in for the last couple of years.
Okay. And what tell us a little bit about this current role.
So I came on actually before the concept plan had been written. So the first part of the job was really around some pretty high level consultation with the school and with the community around the vision for this building that we were proposing to government. And then once we had the funding in place, it was really around the design of the building. So we had many engagement sessions with people around the college to make sure we had a good understanding of what people needed in the building. And then now the role has really morphed into some more of the sort of change management piece and making sure that people have the resources that they need and the support that they need in order to make this shift into the across to another campus and into this new building.
And when you were first on this, is this how you envisioned the job would go, or is it kind of morphed along?
I would say it's morphed. It's okay. Funny, I stumbled upon the job description that was posted like whatever it was 2.5 years ago or something, and it's pretty different than what I'm doing now. So I think it's kind of evolved depending on what the need within the School of Health and Human Services has been.
Okay, so and so you've described a little bit of your current, you're part of that right now, you're currently kind of that change management. Can you maybe just talk a little bit about what that looks like? Like what are the main kind of things this change? You know, we all know that there's going to be the big move. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what that is like from your end?
Sure. Well, so my responsibility really is within the School of Health and Human Services. And so we have a transition team that we've pulled together. So representatives from all of the departments in our school. And those folks are working with me to identify what the questions and concerns might be that are out there in the departments. So what do people need to know? What are they wondering about?
Right.
Everything from features in the building or what the spaces are going to be like to what's it like being on interurban? How do I get there? What are the what's the parking like? To how am I going to work in my new space? So
right.
Lots of different kind of information and education needs that people have.
Right. Okay. Well, let's step back. Now that we kind of have a picture of what your current job looks like, maybe you can take us back to you as the teacher, Carly.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about your approach as a teacher and maybe the culture of HHS when it comes to applied learning?
Sure. Yeah. I would say HHS has a big history of applied learning. So we have had applied learning longer than the term applied learning has probably existed.
Right.
So we've been doing it and not necessarily calling it that. So for example, lab and clinical practice have been a big part of HHS programs for a long, long time. And so certainly the philosophy behind that maybe has changed over the years, but
right.
The actual practical application has always been there.
Right.
So I taught in the classroom and in the lab and in clinical. So I have experience in those areas, and that's certainly a big foundation in HHS programs.
Right. And how did you, is there any like kind of the values of applied learning? Are there anything specific that jumps out to you? Like, you know, there's these eight principles of applied learning, whether it's a reflection or intention or authenticity. Are there any of those kind of key values jump forward in terms of when you are a teacher, what are you kind of hoping your students get from an applied learning experience?
Yeah, to me, I think some of the ones that really jumped out at me were kind of the front end and the back end, the intention.
Mm-hmm.
So really being clear about what you're trying to do and why, so that it's not just a, let's just try this out for the sake of trying it out, but that you have
right.
a real plan. And then the reflection. And I think both on the instructor's part. So how did that go? What would I do differently next time? But also on the students. What did you learn? What was that experience like? What worked? What didn't? Right. And that, again, is a real foundation in practice in healthcare particularly. Right. And all of the HHS programs and in helping students to really identify the skills needed to actually reflect well.
Right. Yeah. So not just the practice of reflecting, but learning how to reflect with some, I don't want to say force, but some ability that actually makes the reflection meaningful.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it's not a skill that all of us have naturally. So sometimes we do need to help students to learn that. Yeah.
So from the values you've described, how did you see, when you were thinking about those values, how did you try to bring those values forward? And how did what did you hear from other faculty in terms of bringing those ideas into the design, in the design stage, when you had the funding, but the what the building would look like, did those kind of principles show up in the design phase? Mm-hmm. And not just from yourself, but from other faculty as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say that the student experience was identified as a big driver in this very early on. So right. It was really important to the design team that was reflected in the building.
Right.
Very much about the student experience. And a big part of that was ensuring that the spaces supported applied learning. Right. Experiential learning. So I can talk about some examples of this particular spaces later on, but certainly it was a big focus. And it was something that we heard from faculty, from students, from staff in all of our engagement sessions. That piece really came through as a really big priority. So we needed to make sure that the space really supported that.
Right. So it was one of the key sort of foundations of the new space was
Absolutely.
This idea. So let's go to one of those principles then. How does the new health center offer authentic learning kind of experiences? And maybe you can, we'll get to a few examples, but authenticity is that thing where students feel and the faculty and staff feel that what they're doing connects in a very tangible way to what they might do in their field.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So a few examples come to my mind. We certainly have several spaces within the building that really mimic the real world. So one example is the healthcare simulation labs.
Okay.
So they are not within the real world. They mimic the real world.
Right.
They simulate the real world. But it gives students a chance, particularly in healthcare programs, to try things out.
Right.
We can actually put them into somewhat risky situations that we could never put them in real life.
Of course.
So it allows them to kind of practice that before they're in a situation that they have to respond in. Another example is early learning and care. We'll have a lab that can actually be used as a child care facility. So we could actually have children from the community come in and work with our students in that setting that is exactly like a child care center would
right.
be.
And they're getting that hands-on experience and all of the sort of things that can go sideways.
Exactly.
But in a very sort of safe for everyone kind of environment.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Is there... can you describe any of the other learning spaces and how they designed to incorporate like other learning ideas or applied learning concepts? Like you've mentioned a couple of the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other learning spaces you'd like to talk about and how they apply to those learning principles?
Sure, yeah. So I'll start maybe with the classrooms, which
right.
I think is often what we think of when we think of learning space, although it's not the only space. But the classrooms were designed to support applied learning. So they're quite large classrooms. There's very flexible furniture.
Right.
So the tables have flip tops, for example, and they're on wheels. So they roll out of the way very easily. The chairs are quite light, so they're easy to move, to stack.
Right.
What we heard from faculty and what we heard from students too is that they like to be able to be in different formats within the class, within the same hour-long class, for
right.
example. So maybe the teacher starts with some sort of in group orientation around an applied learning activity that might be done as a group. So maybe all of the students are in more of a lecture format.
Right.
Maybe they then move the tables and chairs within a couple of minutes into small group work or small group sort of pods where they can work on a particular problem, for example,
right.
something like that. And then there's the IT is really well integrated as well, and it's an different walls, for example, so there's right. no kind of front of the classroom, so trying to move away from that real focus on the instructor being the front of the classroom and that real lecture format, but right. trying to support other options.
Can I just ask you, because there's another, like the idea of getting students to experience things and then reflect on this applied learning fashion, this, I know, having worked with some of the folks on various committees to make our classrooms more flexible, what was it like to start from like a blank slate?
It's pretty nice to be able to have that option. So we were, I would say we had some experiences that we could draw on. So we had feedback from staff and faculty and students in terms of what they wanted.
Right.
We had some learning from the concept classrooms, for example, what was working in those spaces that we wanted to replicate, maybe what wasn't working and we wanted to look at adapting. There's also a lot of research out there about what works to support applied learning and the student experience. So we kind of drew on all of those to sort of form some priorities. And of course, we were working within a budget and a very tight schedule. Yes. So we did have some constraints we had to work within.
Right. Did you look at any other, were there any other colleges, universities across the country that were insightful either and that was a great model, we should mimic some of these, or that didn't go as planned and, you know, now the college is having to redraw the whatever?
Yeah, it's a great question. We did visit several other colleges across the country, so primarily in Vancouver and Edmonton. And then between the dean and I, we did see some others as we were you know, at meetings and that kind of thing. I would say the vast majority of colleges are in a lecture format.
Right.
We saw a few where they had very intentionally designed the space to be very flexible.
Right.
And the person touring us around said it never moved. It's always in rows of seats.
Right.
Facing the front. There are some models, like I know McGill, for example, has done quite a bit of research in this area and has some different models for how they set up classrooms. I haven't seen it myself, but I think there are some other examples out there that we can kind of lean on.
Right. Yeah, it feels to me like just more broadly outside of HHS, but across the whole campus, when you walk into a classroom as an instructor the first time and maybe you're scoping out your room, you know, one of the challenges you face is how can you make the tables? Simple, basic, structural stuff. Where's the where's the projector? Where's the computer? And how can you how easy will it be to make those shifting? Because if you're in a say a layered classroom, even like a newer building like a Fisher 100, it's a great space, except that it's one directional.
Right.
You
so
know.
It's great for that one purpose,
yes.
but it's not flexible for any other.
Or it takes a lot of kind of jerry-rigging to make it something else.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, you can expect to see me trying to get my classes into the actually, as a is there anything besides HHS that's going to go into the new building?
It's certainly possible. So the classrooms, of course, this building is a Camosun building.
Right.
But I understand that the priority will be given to HHS programs to be within that space.
Right.
Partly because the labs are in there and there's some issues around proximity.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't mean that others can't use the space. Yeah.
Okay. So this carries right to the next question. How are learning spaces set up to encourage and, let's say, discourage instructor development in AL? So in this building, how are they set up to make instructors that are accustomed to the culture of applied learning to sort of maybe take the next step?
Well, I'm hoping that things like the way the classrooms are set up, that I don't expect you will walk down the hall and see every classroom left in the traditional kind of lecture format.
Right.
So I'm hoping that that will even be a visual cue that there are other options for how you use this space. I think that we also know that the learning doesn't end at the classroom door. And so another big focus in this building was providing spaces for students outside of the classrooms.
Right.
So I think that'll also help support particularly that reflection piece of applied learning, that as students are leaving the classroom, I'm hoping that they will then sit down in the couches that are in the hallway and chat with their colleagues about that past experience. What did you learn? And I'm expecting it'll also provide a lot more natural connections of students between programs. So those sort of incidental connections, hey, I overheard you talking about that, we did something similar, right. That adds to that interprofessional education and just learning a right. bit more about one another. And ultimately, that certainly benefits the healthcare and the social systems in our society, as well as ultimately the patients and the clients.
Okay, one last question, and I haven't prepared you for this question, but I want to kind of I think many people were really excited to see the HHA is building. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be gorgeous. It's really got a lot of folks have been talking about in terms of the ideal space. How do you imagine, like, if HHS is, I think, one of those disciplines, like, say, for example, culinary arts, where applied learning is really, it's not new or novel. It has really been baked into the way that it's been going for years. How do you imagine a way of extending that kind of culture of this is how we teach, this is all of the tools we teach? How do you imagine extending that culture and that knowledge across different disciplines?
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question. I think while applied learning has certainly been a foundation, I would say, within health and human service programs for a long time, there are other things that we can do. And I think there's a lot of potential to learn from one another. So, for example, we have some faculty who are doing really innovative things in the classroom in a course that was traditionally more of a lecture-style course, but have brought applied learning into the classroom. So it might be a role play, for example, that's what was sort of more of a traditional kind of lecture or sort of content-focused course. And I think those ideas often come from people outside of our discipline. It just helps us to kind of think a bit differently about how we might be able to do things. We have another great example within this new building is the teaching clinic,
right.
which will help to mimic the real world, but also provide services to the public. So we right. have a program that we're hoping to offer, the ultrasound program, that has been designed with the part of the clinical experience the students get is actually within the teaching clinic right on Camosun property. So sort of similar to the dental clinic that we
right,
have here,
right,
for
right.
example, that kind of model where students are supported by faculty to provide a service to the public. And again, it's something that, I realize it might be unique to health and human services, but I think there is some potential with other schools or other disciplines across the college to kind of see how we might be able to share this space and provide an experience for students that is authentic, regardless of whether that's within health and human services or some other discipline.
Right. All right. Any last ideas or comments or regarding applied learning and the new building?
I don't think so. I think maybe I'd just say that really excites me to see I think the student experience will be really impacted by this fantastic building.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to see it open. Thank you very much for your time, Carly.
Great. Thank you.
And that wraps up another episode. Thanks for listening.